adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Is that it?
That's it.
All right.
Phone number?
Did I give that out? 1-800-LOVE-191?
I'm not sure if I heard that or not.
All right, let's go to the phones and take some calls. Drew, is your wife still awake?
Yeah. Why? Why?
I got to talk to her about some travel.
Oh, that's good.
And get that phone number. Sharissa? Yeah.
Let's go.
Sharissa?
Mm-hmm. You're 16. What's up?
I think that when I was younger, I may have been molested. And I wanted to know if some of my, it's like the signs that I've seen growing up can be justified.
The signs that you've seen growing up, what do you mean?
Signs. Like, when I was 9, I wet the bed, and I hadn't wet the bed since I was 2 years old.
Okay, so all of a sudden something changed, huh?
Yeah.
And you think something happened right around then?
Yeah. I started seeing my father, who I hadn't seen since I was 7 months old, for 4 months, and then I suddenly quit. What? I got scared.
Because something was happening, or?
I don't know.
What do you mean you started seeing him?
Where'd you been?
Like, my mom. I told my mom I wanted to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't, you know.
Or why was he gone? I think that's sort of what we're asking.
He was beating my mom when I was little, and she left him.
All right. So maybe it was just some sort of re-traumatization or post-traumatic stress reaction just to having this guy around that was terribly abusive.
I wet my bed, too, for a long time.
I never wet the bed.
She's much more normal than you are.
So much better than I am.
Well, ever since then, I had, like, horrible nightmares.
Listen, as a woman, couldn't you just put a tube sock in your vagina or something if you're wetting the bed?
A cork? Yes, nice.
Well, not a cork, but I'm just saying a ball of socks or something.
Okay.
All right, so listen, have you you ever talked to a therapist or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm going now for problems with severe depression, anxiety.
All right.
All right, Teresa,
attempted suicide.
All right, let's put it this way. You are some sort of trauma survivor, okay? And what happens when people have been traumatized, whether it's sexually abused or being in the presence of an abusive guy that beats the crap out of your mom, whatever it is, it wires in a kind of a mechanism in your brain for dealing with interpersonal stress. People tend to rely on dissociation and tend to rely on very primitive kinds of interpersonal exchanges of feelings. And that's what you're getting into here. And that is something that can be treated. You're in treatment. It really doesn't matter whether it did or didn't happen specifically. That's just not the issue. You were badly traumatized. You have a lot of symptoms now and you're in treatment. Fine. Keep going.
All right. Let's talk to you. What the hell name is that?
I don't know.
Okay. Then let's talk to Dan. Dan, you're 23. Keep in mind, if you have a name that I can't pronounce or read, there's a much less likely chance of me punching you up. Dan?
Yeah,
that's an easy one. You're 23.
Right.
What's going on?
Not too much. I've got a camping trip coming up this weekend, and a best friend of mine, I know she wants to have sex with me. It's going to be a little alcohol involved, of course.
Your best friend?
Yes. Well, not too much of a best friend, but a close friend, I guess we could say.
Why aren't you in a relationship with her?
Well, it's kind of just the fact that we don't... I don't know. I really... Don't want to break up the friendship.
What was
the BS? She's not that hot. You're not that into her.
Come on, dude.
Subconsciously, I'm probably not into her.
Subconsciously? You're very clear with this. You're not that into her. Not that into her. Right, you just got the friendship. I don't really know.
But put it this way. She's, you know, in the looks department, she's a 7? 7 and a quarter?
Yeah. 6 and a half.
6 and a half, 7 and a quarter.
Yeah.
In that range. Okay. Now, if she was a 9 plus.
Oh, definitely. No problem.
You'd be into her. You wouldn't have any problem with the breaking up the friendship.
All right. So be honest, okay, please?
No problem.
And she's more into you than you are into her.
Definitely.
And so now you're going raping?
No, we're going camping.
No, I decided to change the name of camping to raping because...
Gotcha. Make it a little more interesting.
That's all that goes on out there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's to be honest, because here's what parents hear, hey, we want to take your 15-year-olds out camping, whole group of boys and girls. They hear camping, they say, yeah, go ahead, be my guest. But if they hear what it really is, raping, now you think twice.
Yeah.
You think, well... All right, but take an extra granola bar or something.
God. Protection. Listen, he didn't ask his question.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Dan?
All right, yeah.
Your question.
The question was, I know she's got HPV.
Nice.
Now, how contractable was that to a...
Highly. Profoundly.
Very highly.
Yes.
Well...
Yes.
It's not so bad if a guy gets it,
No, it's not so bad if you get it, but you're going to get it.
I mean, I don't want to be, like, spreading it around or anything.
You may already have it, Dan. How many partners you had?
Me, personally, I've actually, honestly, only had three.
All right, probably don't have it.
Wear a condom can reduce the risk. If they've been treated and she doesn't have a lot of them, it's a
condom reduces it quite a bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So, wear a condom and take your risk if you want. But it doesn't sound like somebody you're particularly into. It's a friendship you want to preserve. She is very into you, obviously. That's why she has settled for the friendship. And you might be really screwing things up by giving her the idea there's something more potentially here.
Yeah. Because Dan is going to look at this. Dan's going to have himself 16 lucky lagers and forget about this by the time they're done making the huevos rancheros the next morning
on
the iron skillet, where she'll be living this dream for a good year or so.
Well, not the dream. This is it. The connection is made, you know.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the connection will be made, and then it will be severed the next morning, and then she will be sort of living that for quite some time.
Yes, yes.
Whereas for Dan, it truly will be severed.
Yes. Well, it's never made.
Ilithia.
Right. Yeah.
Duh, well, pain in the ass parents you got.
Huh?
What a horrible name.
Shut
Your
up.
Parents get a nice kick in the nuts.
Lithia comes from it.
I don't care. Your dad deserves a good kick in the nuts.
Wait, so the defense is the reason
Lithia comes from
it?
I don't even know what Lithia is. What is Lithia?
Well, I don't know what Lithia is either.
Lithia or Lithia?
We said Lithia comes from it.
Lithia, yeah. She was the one that you know the biblical story of, was it? God, I can't remember now.
Okay.
Whatever.
She's really studied up on this.
No, Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel.
Cain
All
and
right.
Abel.
She couldn't have named you Abel.
No, it's like...
All right, baby. Listen, I don't want to go. See, here's the thing about the Bible. I don't mind the hits of the Bible. I don't mind the Johns and the Josephs and the Marys. I don't like the deep cuts.
Yeah.
I don't like when you're getting into the B side of the Bible, when you're getting into that Hezekiah's and the Alithias and stuff. That's a Bible deep cut.
No. She was the one that
would you shut up? Does anyone know what I'm talking about with the Bible deep cut?
Vampire chick? Is that what she said?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what I mean? The deep Bible names.
Yes, I hear you.
The ones that no one's heard of.
Yes.
The B-sides.
A white crystalline oxide of lithium is what it says in the dictionary for lithium.
All right. Drew, put that away. Okay, listen, Vampira. What's your question?
Okay, I just wanted to know if, during sex, my boyfriend, he tends to rip me. And I wouldn't know if it could get any severe, like if I could get an infection because of it.
Yeah, potentially. I mean,
what's his name? Goliath?
No, it's
Samson.
It's
but there are risks to this, I suppose. And some women get recurrent sort of tears way down at the fornix, way in the back of the vagina there.
Uh-huh.
And it's something that the deal breaker for some relationships because there's sort of an anatomical problem.
Actually, I mean, it doesn't hurt or whatever. It's to the point where I kind of listen for it because you could hear it tear.
Oh, that's nice.
Your vagina sounds like a Velcro wallet.
Oh,
with the S word.
Huh?
Close to the S word there. Very close.
I know. I didn't say it though.
All right.
What is your question?
No, but that was...
Yes, it's not good for you to tear body parts.
If it could just get any serious than that.
I suppose it could, but it doesn't tend to.
She seemed loony as a tune, that Alithia.
Yeah, listening for the vaginal rip, tear. It might be a little distracting, mightn't it?
Yeah, you couldn't just crank up the Zeppelin and enjoy yourself. You gotta listen for the vaginal tear. And by the way, do you think she's hearing a vaginal tear, or is she just a little whacked out?
Yeah.
And you know how Tori Amos sees fairies?
Yes.
Sort of the equivalent of Alithia. hearing the vaginal tear?
Mm-hmm. These are those gold dust moments.
That's right. Yeah. I think it's more angel dust. Jake?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah. Hi, I'm from Dallas. And back in October, my friend's family was killed. They were murdered by their dad. His dad was visiting, and he murdered his mom and his little brother.
His dad was visiting?
His dad.
Your friend's dad.
Yeah, was visiting from St. Louis to Dallas, and he walked in, and he started in their house, and he shot his mom and his little brother,
mm-hmm.
and he also
mm-hmm.
shot him, but he got away. And I've been like pretty depressed. I've been really depressed like ever since then. And
what happened to the dad?
What
happened to the dad?
He killed himself.
So everyone, this guy tried to kill the entire family, and your friend got away.
Yeah.
Is he okay now?
Yeah, he's okay. I went to the hospital with him, and I spent the night and stuff.
Yeah. When did this go down?
October.
Wow.
He's still in the hospital?
No.
No, back when he was in the hospital.
How's he doing now?
He's depressed, but he's got a lot of people like supporting him and stuff.
I hope he's getting treatment too.
Family.
Wow, that's just awful. What was up with the dad? Anybody know?
I don't know. He went crazy.
Yeah, but what? Well, was he doing speed or something?
Whatever.
I don't know.
Guy was a mess.
Like he lost all his money and went broke and stuff, and I think he was jealous. Because my friend's mom was, like, doing really well. Open up her own business and everything.
All right. Listen, I remember, you know, not as traumatizing, but the first time I heard my dad scream out, "Sea sucker," when he was driving. And that was, you know, fairly traumatic.
I know your dad had the energy to spit that word out.
It was 25 years ago, but I'm still living with that today. You know, when you hear your dad... It's okay to hear your dad say the S word or even the F word, but when he starts getting those compound and hipper cuss words like sea sucker, it's bizarre.
He's not supposed to even know those.
No, where do you pick that up? On the street? He's running with a bad crowd.
It's like hearing a 5-year-old say it.
Yeah.
Hey, whoa.
Dad yelling sea sucker from his 57 Volkswagen. All right, so Jake, you want to help this guy?
I was what?
Well, why is this so traumatizing to you? Do you have a history of something in yourself, a difficulty growing up, or?
No. Well, I've had friends commit suicide.
Yeah.
And other ones.
And is your family together?
Yeah.
Everybody okay?
They're still together and everything.
All right. So Jake, be thankful for your family being so, not killing each other yet.
Didn't they? Yeah, exactly. Didn't they offer some kind of support group at your school or anything like that?
No.
I
missed school for about a week because I was with him in the hospital.
Were you guys all at the same school?
Yeah.
Well, the school should offer something for people to help process.
You were with him in the hospital for a week and you missed school?
Yeah. He's my best friend.
It still seems weird that I could see it going by after school kind of thing.
It's weird that he was so into it and yet no one gave him any support. And where was his family in all this?
Yeah. And look, it's noble to be by your friend's side.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't know, taking a week off school.
And the school not intervening and helping out. I don't get it. The major event went down at that school.
Yeah.
You want to ask those questions?
No.
All right.
So what does Jake need to do?
He needs to find a support group sometime where we can talk with him. He has a post-traumatic stress reaction. He's sort of taken on all of his friend's stuff.
Right.
It's awful.
Yeah. He's shouldering the whole burden. Angelica?
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Hey, you're 19. What's going on?
I'm 17.
All right.
Jeez, we're running into a lot of that this week.
All right. I have a question about ecstasy. I heard that, you know how the pills is what makes you happy or whatever, and you lose your serotonin, and that's what makes you happy?
No, the cells that produce the serotonin die. They're just gone.
Oh, well, I heard there's a stuff called 5-HTP that brings it back. Is
no,
that true?
No, absolutely not.
So what does that do? Cause
it really doesn't do anything. It's the equivalent of trying to use it as an antidepressant. If you've killed off those cells, the only thing that will help it is, in fact, a pharmacologic agent.
What is that 5-HTP?
It's a precursor to serotonin.
Where do you get it?
A health food store, probably.
So there's nothing that
helps to get that back?
It's gone forever?
Yes, there's medication. Yeah, it tends to be gone forever, as far as we can tell. And oftentimes the ecstasy users I deal with end up on medication. If they're having the kind of panic and difficulty going outside and socializing and the mood disturbances that are so characteristic of ecstasy,
mm-hmm.
they need to be on medication.
So I'm pretty much screwed and I'm not getting any of that back?
How many times have you done ecstasy?
I've been doing it for about a year. I've done it probably like 40 times.
Yes, you might dodge the bullet. Sometimes people at 40 times do, but you're going to have something from it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to talk to a doctor about it who's used to dealing with people that have been exposed to a lot of this drug. It's a toxin. It destroys brain.
Mm-hmm. Like what kind of doctor? Because I've never been to kind of therapist.
Many psychiatrists know how to do this. People that deal with drug and alcohol issues.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you.
All right,
hey, good time, so, right?
You too.
Yeah. All right. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
You have a question about pubic hair?
Yeah. Lately, I've been finding clumps of pubic hair, they fall out, and I find them in my underwear. And I haven't done anything differently, and it just started falling out lately.
Pubes have been falling out in clumps?
Yeah.
So they look like patches of sod.
I guess.
What do you mean clumps?
Yes, I'm trying to figure out how is there even enough to create.
Is there
a
vagina attached to it?
No, it's not. There's just like a lot, like a bunch of hairs. It's not like just one. That's what I was
sloughing her
like.
Vagina. Is that what you're suggesting?
What?
Yeah, like a snake peels its skin off once a year. Huh? Is it patchy?
I mean, can you see the loss?
Yeah.
You can see the patchy hair loss.
Yeah, you can tell.
Hold on, I got a theory. Are you sure there's not an Asian woman pulling this off with a waxed piece of paper? Because that's normally how it works down there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
Yeah!
Do you have a rash down there?
Not really. No. It's kind of red where it fell out, but it goes away after a day, kind of.
Are you scratching a bunch?
No.
Is there any hair loss anywhere else in your body?
No.
And no other rash anywhere?
No.
You want any medication?
I was taking steroids.
Corticosteroids?
Anabolic.
Anabolic steroids?
Why? Trying to make the football team?
No. Well, because I'm kind of small and, I don't know, me and my friends just took some of her brothers.
Oh, my God.
Her brother's on the juice and you got into it, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow.
That's why your pubes are falling out.
Absolutely.
That's what's doing it?
Absolutely.
What do you think? What do you think?
Well, it wasn't doing it when I was taking them, and I stopped taking them, and then it started falling out.
It increases your hair growth all over your body when you're taking them. How long did you take it for?
Like 3 months.
Oh, my God.
Didn't your friend's brother know you were getting into a supply?
Well, he actually thought his other friend was taking them.
Okay, screwball. Hey, listen, baby.
You need to get some blood tests done. It can damage your liver, your kidneys, and cause strokes and heart attack. You need to get this checked out, right?
Okay.
Cause high blood pressure. Your own fertility could be in jeopardy here. There's a lot of stuff goes down with this stuff.
Okay.
All right. Let's work on the decision making, Sarah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay? Don't do anything you want to do, all right?
That's a good plan for all of our callers, for everybody.
All of you. Don't do anything you feel like doing. Tall are you you're so small?
What were you trying to accomplish?
Do you want to get bigger?
Yeah.
But how?
Taller, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
What's your height?
5'3".
All right, what those things do is accelerate your growth for a short period of time and cause the growth plates to shut down. So you never achieve the growth you would have gotten to otherwise. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. You need to get seen about this.
That's ironic that it would only not help your growth, but it helps stunt your growth.
It stunts it. Yeah, it makes it. Oh, my God.
Hey.
What is going on out there?
I don't know, Drew. I'm just as bamboozled as you are. The only difference is I don't care.
Kiss my ass.
Jimmy.
Hey.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
About two and a half months ago, I had sex with my girlfriend at the time,
mm-hmm.
and it was my first time, and I got so nervous that I started shaking, and I lost my heart on, and she stopped it at that point about 3 minutes into it, and ever since then, even when I've been in situations,
she stopped. Wait, who stopped with that?
How did she stop it? By taking the blood out of your penis?
Yeah, and she got off me and said no.
She said no because
there was nothing there.
Well, that, but I mean, I got so scared. Like, it was my first time. And
but,
ever since then,
okay.
every time I've been in a situation like that, I lose my heart on. Even when I'm masturbating, I lose it. Like, I have, like, almost like flashbacks, and I get nervous again.
Post-traumatic stress penis.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Yeah, well, you got to get back on that horse, Jimmy.
Yeah, you need to find a way to deal with this anxiety. It's anxiety makes things not work. Being nervous makes things not work.
Is it just nervousness?
Oh, yeah.
But here's what anxiety is to me. I mean, Drew, stop me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Anxiety, it'd be nice if it just made your penis limp every time. And
yeah.
Here's what I'm saying, because then when you were doing some public speaking,
that's all that would happen.
You'd have a limp penis, and that would probably
yes.
be better
yes.
than having erection.
Sure.
But what anxiety does is it figures out the worst possible scenario and makes it come true. So if you're doing public speaking, it's not that you get a limp penis, it's that you get a stutter, and you start sweating profusely about the forehead.
You get a limp brain. You can't think, you lock,
Yeah, it even has physical manifestations.
Sure,
you're holding up a card trying to read the notes on your speech, and your hand is shaking visibly. The beads of sweat on the forehead, whatever it is. Even your walking becomes sort of unnatural.
No, that's right.
So, and when you're with a woman, then your penis goes to hell. When a cop pulls you over, you start stuttering. It seems like you're drunk.
Yeah.
It figures out what would be the worst possible thing your body could do at this particular point for whatever the occasion is, and that's what it gives you.
Produces
and
that.
That's what I don't understand, and that's why I'm an atheist. What the hell would God punish his subjects? And I don't know if he considers us his subjects. Maybe it's his children.
People.
Why would he do this to his children? They at least have to be his subjects. You know what I mean? Why would he give you that flop sweat on your forehead? Why would he make you stutter? Why would he take the blood out of your penis? Why would he give you gas on the first date? Why?
Well, Anis is in my ear saying, explain fight or flight, which is just the fact that these hormones are...
Hold on, Anderson, how dare you speak into his ear when I'm in the middle of one of my atheist
tirades? That there are hormones that are there in response to really frightening experiences, frightening stimuli that cause you to either stay and fight or to run, turn and run, that it charges the whole system up. Unfortunately, anxiety is when that response occurs and the things that shouldn't evoke that response.
I know.
The sex shouldn't evoke that response, and that's what he's got to get over. He's got to either condition himself to be able to have sex without evoking that anxiety. Anxiety is kind of a behavior. So people can sort of deal with it behaviorally, and then his penis will magically work if he's not being anxious. Or if he truly has some sort of phobic fixation, there may be something more needs to be done.
All right. You know what? The thing about anxiety to me, it's like when I get stoned, I like to eat a lot.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing great. I'll eat a ton. And then I'll start thinking while I'm chewing, I wonder why I never bite my tongue. And then I'll start thinking, I wonder where my tongue is right now while I'm chewing this Abba Zabba.
Pow.
And how is it not getting pow? That's when I come down on the tongue. Now, if I don't think about the tongue, I'm not going to bite the tongue.
Yep.
And it's the same with the anxiety and whatever. And it's the same with your penis. If you're caught up in the moment, you're rolling along, whether it's doing a public speaking or nailing some stripper, everything's fine. The second you stop and go, where's my tongue? Pow.
Oh my God, I'm nailing a stripper.
That's when we get you. All right. Where's your tongue? It's in the stripper's ass.
Okay.
We are going to take ourselves a little break, and then we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Our guest, Jerry Cantrell, has joined us in the studio tonight. Jerry, formerly of Alice in Chains, and now is doing his own solo thing. Degradation Trip is the name of the CD. It is currently out. It is doing very well. And on tour with Nickelback, who was, and Creed, by the way, both bands in here semi recently, yes?
Yeah, we just finished with Creed, with Nickelback a couple of days ago, and we start with Creed in a few days from now, Sunday, I believe, in North Carolina.
We have a bunch of tour dates for Jerry and all that, and doing the solo thing. It says here that you did it. You recorded the album at A&M Records. It was reportedly haunted.
The last record to be made in that studio before it was changed to Hanson, I believe. Yeah.
A&M over here in La Brea.
Yeah, well, it's Chaplin's old place, right?
I used to paint. One of the first jobs I had at age 18 was painting the psych in the soundstage. you know, thing they do all the videos in front of.
Yeah. Paint it white.
I would paint it for Soul Train, which they were still filming. I would paint it black. And the thing about the psych is it's the thing that sort of has no corners to it. It's kind of rounded off, so they would airbrush the sky on it and all that crap. That job sucked so bad. So what? They're not making. It didn't seem haunted when I was
working
there.
At the time, you probably thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened to you.
$7 an hour for painting.
Two years later, you made it up to coffee cans and crawl space.
It's better than $6 an hour for asbestos removal.
Oh, nice. Well, you did that too, didn't you?
No, I didn't technically remove asbestos. I mean, not in any kind of protective gear or anything. I just demoed out asbestos and didn't know it.
Oh,
sure.
Man,
part of my construction
porn?
Career.
What was that?
No, I did no porn. I did no straight porn, actually. So, anyway, Jerry is taking a little time off as we speak, talking to him during the break about going to his dad's ranch, or his ranch and his dad's ranch in Oklahoma. And do you like herd cattle and do all that stuff?
We do all that stuff. Yeah, we've got about 80 or 90 head of cattle, and we've been actually raising horses probably for about 4 or 5 years now. We've got about 17, 18 horses now, I think, starting from just a couple. Yeah.
This is going to be weird, but there's some people who can get animals to do stuff they don't want to do, and then there's the other breed that can't.
Well, that's mostly in Europe.
I don't mean while they're filming it. No, I mean like you ever do, you know, you do a thing like, I can't take a rabbit. You know when you like say, okay, take the rabbit out of the cage, hold the rabbit,
right,
and put it into the carrying cage,
right,
and take it to the vet, and then the rabbit's back feet start flapping, and I throw the rabbit. Like, I can't get animals to do
kill
stuff.
The
they
rabbit,
don't
kill the rabbit.
Kill the rabbit.
And yet the crocodile hunter can have a conversation with a snake.
Right. Right. I'm just saying, I couldn't do any of that branding. I couldn't do any of that stuff where they cut the balls off, putting the rubber bands around it until they fall
off.
That's
crazy. My dad does all that stuff, and I've learned how to do that myself, too. It's kind of bizarre. But
how much cattle rustling is going on in 2002 that the branding is still necessary?
Branding's really, it's not too necessary, but you definitely still have to deal with it's mostly like your cattle wandering onto other people's property.
I see.
Getting mixed in with other herds.
Not all fenced.
Yeah.
All right, so Jerry Cantrell's here. We will take some calls, give you some dates, play some music, and do all of that. Let's talk to Martha. Martha?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
I was just wondering, what are the effects of the double shot?
You won't get pregnant.
Yeah, but like, will it make me gain weight or?
Not usually. The most troubling thing that I find with this is it can make people depressed,
mm-hmm,
and it can sort of shut down your sex drive.
Oh yeah.
But it has been attributed to have been the major cause of the drop in teen pregnancy rate in this country in the last couple of years.
And when what is that? I mean, how long is it good for? 3 months or
3 months? But you know, now there's all this. I bet the conference is going to come up about this, because today the NIH put a study out about Provera and progesterone. You hear this at all?
Yeah, I read that. Sure. I mean, who didn't?
Well, it was headline.
It was headline news
every damn time.
It was all over JAMA.
Every time they turn on television, they were talking about it, and that is that the estrogen and progesterone replacement therapies that I still think are a good idea, but we've been using for a long time for menopausal women, increase the risk of stroke, increase the risk of heart disease, increase the risk of breast cancer in a big study. And so,
well, good.
And they think it's the progesterone that might be doing it, and then Depo-Provera is a big dose of progesterone.
Shouldn't we start trying to bring women down? You know, everybody I know, their husband kicked off. Every one of my grandparents' friends, it's all the women are left.
You're right.
Behind.
We should be giving women things to make them die earlier. Right?
Well, listen, hold on.
Is that what you're saying?
No, you misread me. I'm not saying kill women. I'm saying right now, here's what happens, and I know Jerry's on board with this. Men marry women that are 6, 8, 10 years younger than they are, oftentimes.
Right.
Then
pay half their money to them when they get divorced, right?
In the next 2 years,
that's
yes.
Right. And
no, then the guy kicks off 10 years before the woman does. So really, the guy kicks off, and the woman's got another 20 years left.
Easy.
I'm trying to bridge that chasm. I'm trying to bring the women down.
You don't want to make it so miserable, that lonely time at the end.
Do you know how difficult it is for a woman to die alone, to be sitting in that big house, driving the old man's car, spending his money, banging the pool man?
Oh.
You know what kind of pain that is, Drew? I'm saying, if men can't come up, let's bring women down. Let's just bring them down. They're like 80 or 82 right now. Let's just bring them down. We'll meet them at 75. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And is in.
I'll leave you with that one.
What's Martha doing over here?
Martha's doing depo. What's she doing?
I know, but we answer her question?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right. Josh?
Yes, this is Josh.
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's that?
Jerry, your work on dirt, absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
Absolutely excellent. Two quick questions, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick.
Sure.
One, the dollar store condoms, any difference between those and the leading national brand as far as...
You know, I would suggest you consult Consumer Reports online.
I always stick with Trojans pretty
Trojan
much.
Trojan and the Ramses tend to be the best. And,
yeah.
and there are Consumer Reports does every few years a review of condom safety and efficacy and stuff. All I know you pretty much always want to stay away from are the multicolored ones. Those tend to be less effective.
Hey, right. Hey, Josh, but they carry brand names. It's not...
Anything that's a bargain generally is probably not the greatest quality in the world. And if you're talking about something that's going to prevent pregnancy and disease, you probably want to spend the dough and get the decent quality. That's well.
Yeah, there's a business
opinion.
In here. So should we get pie cut them and sell them for more?
That would be my opinion.
And Loveline is brought to you by Trojan.
Yeah. Josh probably isn't getting laid so much it's going to make... a big impact. I mean, what are we talking about? $3 or $4 a year difference between the $1.49 stuff and the 99 cent. And I don't know when the last time either one of you spent any time in that 99 cent store, but it's crazy, man.
Really? Why?
What they got there? Because I did a man show bit there, and I was in one for like 4 hours, and it basically is, it's sort of a refugee camp for things that didn't sell. You know, stuff is not produced to go in the 99-cent store. It's the island of misfit toys.
Yeah.
It's the crap. It's
a useless store.
Yeah, it's that plaster of Paris E.T. with the Prussian helmet that didn't move as well as they thought they would. It would move.
Right.
Ends up at the 99-cent store. It's all this crazy stuff that never sold in its original store, making it over to the 99-cent store. This is why. So condoms...
Maybe they're outdated or something.
Doesn't seem like condoms would be a great thing to buy there because it's like, well, we couldn't sell any of these ones with the gay flag on it at the parade 3 years ago. Yeah. Let's drop them off here. We'll sell them for 99 cents.
I'd stick with your name and proven brands, you know.
Hold on, Drew. Write that down. A condom with the gay flag on it. Huh?
And sell it for more so people think they're getting better quality.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk to Elizabeth.
Hi.
No, wait a minute. I think I want to hear a song from Jerry. All right, Elizabeth?
Sure.
Yeah, because we're running a little bit behind tonight, and I think that would be a better way to go. What do you say,
Anderson?
Oh,
come on. Let her hit it.
Oh, don't worry. She'll be back.
Right.
We didn't get rid of her or anything.
All right. Well, hang on, Elizabeth.
Yeah, we'll hear a song, and then we'll come back and talk to her.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Yeah. This is Jerry Cantrell, and this is called Anger Rising. Jerry Cantrell's our guest tonight. Degradation Trip is the name of the CD. Jerry is formerly of Alice in Chains and out on tour coming up real soon in probably less than a week, yes?
Sunday, starting with Creed, yeah. We just ended up with Nickelback 2 days ago.
Starting Sunday with Creed and...
No, I think that was Charlotte, North Carolina.
Then going to Columbus, Ohio and Hartford and Uniondale, New Jersey and Cincinnati and Seattle and all over the map. So look for Creed and Jerry in a town near you. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. We're back. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew over there. Adam over here. Jerry Cantrell is our guest tonight.
Hello.
Formerly of Alice in Chains and doing his own thing now. Degradation Trip's the name of the CD. It is out as we speak and doing very well. He's going out on tour with Creed. Coming up in on Sunday, and is there a website or anything if people want to find
that
date?
JerryCantrell.com.
JerryCantrell.com, and look for him coming to your city. Let's talk to Elizabeth, who we were going to talk to right before we heard the song. Elizabeth?
Hi.
Hey, you hung on?
Yes, I did.
All right.
What's up? You're 19.
Yeah. a year ago, I had sex for the first time, and so far the only time. It was protected sex, but I contracted both herpes and genital warts from the...
In spite of wearing a condom? Wow.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
So did it break?
No.
Wait a minute.
Hmm. What? Doesn't gel
doesn't,
for
doesn't
you?
Doesn't jive for me. How are those things documented? How do you know that's what you have?
Both symptomatics, appearance-wise, and antibody tests, and also biopsies done for the HPV.
Okay, the HPV I can get. That makes sense. But
that's the warts.
Yeah, but herpes, the antibody tests are not very good. The only way they can really diagnose that is by...
With Western blot was the test.
No, that's no good. The only way they can really do it, no, is with cultures. They have to culture the lesions.
Well, but she had a breakout, right? Did you have a breakout, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I've had lots. It's been really horrible.
You've had recurrent herpes since?
Yeah.
Not just the warts?
Right.
All right.
And did you have oral sex with him or something?
No.
Wow.
This doesn't make sense.
Well, Drew, you say all the time that the herpes and the warts cannot be on the area that the condom's on.
They can, but it's awfully, you know.
That's a bad penis hand you got dealt your first time out of the gate there, Elizabeth.
I know.
How do your recurrent outbreaks manifest?
It's rough. I mean, one time.
It's been really horrible. Actually, the whole situation was also a lot worse. I also suffered a vaginal tear from it, so I had to get stitches from that and a blood transfusion.
Damn, a blood transfusion?
Hmm.
You mean you bled so much you needed a transfusion?
Yes.
From the tear?
Yes.
Were you raped?
No.
This does not compute.
All right.
Compute.
Elizabeth, we're not saying you're making this up, but we're saying that there's something going on here.
I wish I were making this up. I really don't like this.
How did the tear, I mean, even after people tear all the way through their rectum after delivering...
No, it wasn't that bad. I mean...
Listen, let's say you're delivering a baby and you tore the vagina and the rectum. You wouldn't bleed to the point of needing a transfusion.
Well, what happened was when I went to the emergency room, they didn't believe me. What had happened was I was losing... So much blood and like blood clots that they thought
from where?
Actually, they thought that I had had like a spontaneous abortion. They said so they didn't repair it for a long time, which of course I couldn't have had since I had never had sex.
And you had a tear inside your vagina, up inside?
Yeah.
So you're not talking. We were talking about something on the outside before.
No.
Wow. This guy's he's a real demolition team. This guy.
Yeah.
This guy. We should tag this guy. We need to keep an eye on him. He's got a can opener for a penis. He's spreading disease everywhere.
Elizabeth, you never had a like a dissociative disorder or anything?
No. Why do you ask?
Just seems like a lot. Nothing. No trauma in your life?
No, never.
Nobody ever abused you, huh?
No, I had an eating disorder when I was younger, but that's pretty common. I know. So.
All right. And why you waited a while before you lost your virginity?
Yeah.
Just a personal choice?
I guess, yeah.
Okay. So now you're a little reluctant about getting back in a relationship?
Well, yeah, I don't see how it would even be possible for me to. I mean, because it's just so contagious, and I'm afraid of even telling someone.
Well, basically, 30 of your friends have the wart virus, at least, okay? So that's very common. And the herpes, I'm still having a hard time buying that you got both.
Well, they said that because I was so immune compromised because of the blood loss and the stress and everything, that's probably why.
No.
You were losing blood before you had sex with this guy?
No.
So how did you get immune compromised going into this?
Well, no, they didn't say going into it, but I mean after is what they said. That's why everything was so bad.
Okay.
And how do your outbreaks manifest now, the herpes?
Everything's really bad.
How do they manifest?
Just like general inflammation and just like real sharp pain, like my lower back going down my legs.
All right, Drew, we're not going to be able to sort this out in 2 minutes, so here's the deal.
It's not coming together for me properly. I think you should be reevaluated maybe by just get another opinion about this, because I think your belief about what's going on here may be overdramatized. The wart virus, I get that. I understand that. A tear from the penetration of his penis to the point that you hemorrhage doesn't fit. And there may have been something else going on up there that got stimulated to hemorrhage, and that needs to be sorted out, and that needs to be diagnosed properly. And this thing that's being called herpes, I question.
Well, let me explain where I would fit into this if I was 19 or 20. I would be the next guy who came around and could not figure out why she was sobbing and crying when I went for her bra and couldn't figure anything out. So, Elizabeth...
Of course, you'd stop immediately.
That's me, yes, yeah, because yeah, I'm like Sir Walter Raleigh. But little therapy probably couldn't hurt either. Yes?
Her situation, yeah.
Sounded like there were some issues going on
there.
Oh,
yes.
Jesse?
Yeah?
You're 19?
I am.
You had a baby 3 months ago?
Uh-huh.
And, yes?
Oh, I was just wondering, before I got pregnant, I was, me and my boyfriend had sex all the time, and then while I was pregnant, we had sex all the time. And now, after the baby was born, I'm just less interested.
Oh, I see.
I'm so less interested in sex, and it hurts, and it...
That's normal. Sometime, are you breastfeeding still?
Yes.
Okay, that...
Every once in a while, I'm, like, at night time.
You're breastfeeding?
I breastfeed.
All right, well, that can add to this. And there's the massive hormonal changes that women go through after delivery very often set this kind of thing up. Talk to your doctor about it. Sometimes something as simple as going back on the birth control pill can kind of reestablish your hormonal environment, and you start to have interest in sex again. Also,
I got put on the shot.
Okay. Oh, well, that's what's shutting you down. That shuts you down.
Hey,
okay,
Jesse,
that's shutting you down.
All right, you going to marry this guy?
I think about it sometimes.
Okay. All right. Maybe after the fifth kid?
Maybe after the fifth kid.
All right.
Kid.
No more kids, right? You're 19.
I'm 19. No more kids.
All right, baby. All right. Okay. So check into the shot, all right?
The shot's shutting you down, all right?
Yeah.
It is. And the stress of having a baby and those changes.
Okay. Jerry Cantrell's our guest tonight. We're going to take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of you after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. We're back. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jerry Cantrell's our guest tonight. You know him formerly from Alice in Chains and now Degradation Trip, name of the new CD. Going to be out with Creed, finished up with Nickelback, and starting the tour come Sunday and coming to a town near you. JerryCantrell.com. Is what you go on now today?
Or Roadrunner Records, which is my new label, yeah.
Or RoadrunnerRecords.com?
Yeah, I believe it's RoadrunnerRecords.com, yeah.
Did you, now, you got your name. Did you have to buy it back from some jackass who bought it, or how did that work?
Actually, my whole leaving Columbia, the record company that I've been before, it was a really, really amicable thing. It was very cool. And
they had it. They had the .com.
Yeah, actually, that was part of it. Because actually, while Alice was going on, I had already started with a solo record in 1998. Boggy Depot actually was my first record. So this is actually my second. And they've been very cool. They were cool. They were very supportive and great through all the years with Alice and with my first record and with leaving. That's like a rarity in this day and age in this business to leave as cleanly and as cool as we are with each other.
And that's kind of nice.
Yeah, it was good. It was
good. You never hear that story, especially with the
music,
big labels, the music, and the man. All right, let's talk to Heather. Is 28. Heather.
Hi, I actually have two really quick questions.
Okay,
first one is sometimes when I'm having sex with my boyfriend, I pass out.
Wow, that's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Do you hyperventilate and then pass out?
I've had chicks fall asleep, but I don't think technically they passed out.
That's a kind of passing out, but I don't think that's what she's talking about. Do you hyperventilate?
I breathe hard.
Do you get
I don't think I'm hyperventilating.
You get tingling in your hands and around your mouth? Oh, this is comedy there.
Okay.
No.
Well, when I come to, I always have to take a big, deep breath in.
But when you hyperventilate, you don't really know you're hyperventilating, do you?
Does your heart... Yeah, right. That's true. Does your heart race?
Well, yeah.
Is the second part of your question relate to the first part?
No.
Okay.
Well, Heather, look. It's not uncommon for someone to pass out from hyperventilating during sex, but it also can be a sign of a real serious heart condition.
Okay.
So it's something that does need to be talked about with a doctor just to make sure it's not something more serious, okay?
Okay.
All right. The reason you're passing out is usually because there's no blood going to your head, and there are reasons for that.
Okay.
He doesn't stop, though, does he, just because you've passed out?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
All right. He's a keeper.
Cool.
Most guys mean, for most guys, that means oral. All right, so...
Or anal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
All right, Heather, so this guy's a keeper.
That's one question.
What does he do when you pass out?
Well, at first he usually just freaks out and then...
Are you standing up? Are you lying down? Do you stand up and fall down, that kind of thing? Or?
Depending on the position.
So you've fallen, too?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, what's he saying?
What... Put him on. Let me speak to this man with this with this sedative for a penis.
What's up, Adam?
Hey. Wow. Listen.
Valium penis.
What's your name, Valium penis?
My name is Paul. We met a long time ago on a Jenna shoot.
Oh, really? Jenna Jameson?
Yeah.
What are you in the... You're in the porn industry?
Not anymore.
Oh. What was I doing?
You were down there as a... You're down there
gay extra.
Oh, right. I went down there for the morning show and watched a porno shoot once. It was like 140 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
I'm also another graduate of North Hollywood High School.
Oh, you poor bastard.
Tell me about it.
Well, look at you. You've gone on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, I'm a chef now. Go figure.
Yeah. You're knocking people out with
your penis.
So
what are you doing to this woman?
It's just normal stuff. It's just, after a while... I think it has to do with a control problem, actually.
She
doesn't want to let go, and instead of, you know, having a screaming orgasm or something like that, she just passes out.
No.
It's a convenient and interesting hypothesis.
But no.
Reason she's about to have an orgasm, but instead she chooses the coward's way and passes out.
The reason she doesn't have the orgasm is because she can't.
Oh, really?
Not all women can during intercourse, and you've obviously stimulated her to a point that her vagus nerve kicks in and slows her heart down and shuts her whole system down. Not necessarily a good sign.
Can she have one during oral sex?
She's passed out then, too.
Wow. She's got the tongue and the penis.
Jenna has taught me a lot.
No kidding. Now, what were you doing on those porno sets?
I started out as PA, and when I was done, I was a production manager.
Wow, you really worked yourself up that porn ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ambition, brother. All right. I like that moxie. Okay. So she's got to see a doctor because she might have some kind of heart condition.
Oh, great.
All right. Yeah. And you should see a therapist.
Why should I see a therapist?
Just because of that harebrained idea of that grandiose idea you had about her holding back her orgasm and passing out instead.
I'm not the only one that's happened with.
Hang on, she had another question, though.
She's had that?
Yes, she does, which is also a very important medical thing.
All right, let's go. Let's ask.
Okay, hold on.
I'm giving her back?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. The second question.
We're all here.
Okay, the second question is, I've developed a lump in, just off to the left of my clitoris, in between the clitoris and the urethra.
In between the clitoris and the urethra?
Yeah, it's in the vagina. It's probably a Bartholin's cyst, something like that. They're glands in that area can get cystic. It's not uncommon.
How many feet between the clitoris and the urethra?
Well, I want to get my
book. No, I don't want to see the book. You know, that ruins the masturbation session for me. About three-quarters of an inch?
It goes away. It like gets larger and then goes away.
Yeah, it's a cyst. One of the glands is getting cystic in there.
Okay. So what did you do?
When was your last pap smear?
less than a month ago.
And they didn't see anything or wasn't concerned about anything?
Well, it was there, and I told them about it, but they didn't tell me anything
about
it.
Yeah, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. There are cysts on the glands that are not uncommon in that area.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, he's ordering a
cheeseburger. Do I need medication?
Hold on. Wait, hang on a second. It's quiet.
What's your boyfriend
ordering? He's ordering a cheeseburger?
Yeah.
Here's a funnier thing to do. Where is he?
Hold on.
Where are you guys?
No.
Where are you guys?
They're in the drive-thru.
In and out? In what part of Pasadena?
The east side?
East side over by Rosemead?
Huh? Over? Near Rosemead, yeah.
Okay, people honk there that see Heather and what's his boyfriend's name?
I don't know.
Ordering in and out there.
All right, good times. Yeah, Drew's a Pasadenaite, so he knows the... I love in and out. I just don't like the part where they have that whole secret language that I don't know about, so I feel like I'm getting gypped. Like, if you go to In-N-Out, you can give them a signal. Like, you can say to the guy behind the counter, Jerry, you ever eaten the In-N-Out burger?
I like the In-N-Out without the grilled bun and with the grilled onions, of course. Yes.
It's a delightful place to put away a burger. But the point is you can go in there and ask for the Savage Burger or the, you give the guy a certain signal, give him the code, and all of a sudden you get five patties and 70 pieces of cheese.
Right.
And they get there's a whole bunch of stuff that's not on the menu that the guys understand that I don't like because I feel like I'm not getting it. I'm not in the club.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Animal.
Yeah, the animal, right.
Right.
Yeah, there's. I mean, we're giving too much away, but I got to get some kind of little laminate card for In-N-Out so I can go over there and get my due. Eddie?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Right.
What's up?
I've been with my girlfriend for about 3 years, and we've been having sex for the last 2 years, and I...
Poor Eddie. Eddie's asleep. He's been on hold for 100 minutes.
91 minutes over here.
Yeah.
It's pretty important to me. I recently found out that about half the time that we've been having sex, she's really been... She's loud in bed, and she's been just... It's all been... For half the time, she's been just pretending she's liking it.
She's faking her orgasm?
Well, the thing is, well...
Well, not that, Adam. Wait, now, wait. Don't jump to conclusions here, buddy.
Yeah, she's never pretending.
She's never had an orgasm, she says. So she doesn't know how to fake one, but, you know, she breathes and she screams and all kinds of stuff.
I love this, Eddie's logic.
Yeah.
She's never had one, so she can't actually fake one, technically. Cause
it's
never,
like saying, hey, I'm doing a movie where I'm supposed to get shot, but since I've never been shot, I couldn't possibly act that part out. No, you clutch your bell and you fall over. Everyone thinks you got shot. That's how it works.
Well,
she's faking her orgasm.
So where are you going with this?
The reason I think it is because she's just about as tall as me.
Yeah.
It's all about height.
Hold on, let me get my scratch pad out, because this may be a keeper.
She's about 5'10", figuring she's just a little bigger than most girls down there.
Okay.
I'm sure they're not all the same size, and the reason why is because sometimes when I go inside her, I can hardly feel anything myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was her first. So
you feel that she can't have an orgasm because her vagina is too large.
Right.
But not because you're too small.
Well, he's never actually experienced
a big penis, so you got to understand they may not be able to experience a small
penis. Well,
man,
you know, when a woman is rangy, her vagina grows.
It's Eddie, you got it
rangy.
All wrong, buddy.
Rangy.
You're 22, man.
Yeah.
You have a small penis, you fag.
Drew, please.
I don't think I'm big. I mean,
Eddie. Most
I've never had a problem with it.
But is it when you go is it like ringing that dinner triangle? I mean, is it that kind of around it?
No. It's not. No.
No.
It's just it's just not.
Cookie would be the ring of the bell, right?
Right.
Cookie, isn't it?
It's just not tight. And another thing is she gets extremely moist.
Okay. Well, so she's excited.
That's good.
Not a bad thing.
That's
good.
But she hasn't... When was this revelation come out that she wasn't enjoying it? When did she tell you this?
About 2-3 weeks ago.
How did it come out?
And since... How did it come out?
Yeah.
We were just talking about it. We're pretty open with each other.
Oh, yeah, I can tell. How long has she been faking it?
For half the time we've been doing it for the past 2 years.
2 years. Very open.
Let
very
me clarify this.
Coming.
He told her her ass was getting big, and she shot back with the fake
No, on the contrary. 2 years of faking, she's pissed.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
how that goes.
Well, she's okay with it,
okay.
evidently. I mean,
do you give her oral sex?
Yeah, lots of it. And
all right, well, that's how she's also...
Now, when I'm giving her oral sex and she's about to climax,
mm-hmm.
she stops. Because she says it feels like someone's tickling her.
Yeah.
And she just wants him to stop.
Okay. Right. This is common stuff with, how old is she?
She's 21.
14? Yeah. 21. Okay, here's the thing, Eddie. Women can enjoy sex even if they can't have an orgasm.
Hard for men to understand.
Right?
Can you get that?
Well...
No.
The thing is, she says she's not enjoying it.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
And she may be angry now. And, you know, women that height oftentimes are angry, Eddie. So is the relationship falling apart?
No, definitely not. What I would like to know is if there's anything out there where I can maybe use some sort of enlargement to...
No, forget that. Forget about your penis. This has nothing to do with your penis. Nothing. Zero.
She's never brought herself to orgasm at all?
Well, we've talked about it, and she says she tried it once, but she felt strange.
Yeah, this has nothing, get this through your head, nothing to do with your penis.
It's all your balls, Eddie. Blame your balls. Now, Eddie, here's what you have to do. Here's what women love. They love it when you listen, or at least pretend to listen. So you have to do a lot of listening. Don't fixate on yourself. Don't make giving her an orgasm the end-all and be-all, and it's some sort of mission you have to accomplish, because it puts too much pressure on her, and it freaks her out, and then she tries to fake it, then she gets angry at you.
Right.
Just relax a little.
She told me, as a matter of fact, she told me herself that maybe it's because she concentrates too much on trying to...
That's probably
a big part of it. That, and you're maybe a little too vigorous with the oral sex. Maybe lighten up a little bit.
Maybe she could do a little experimenting in the tub. That seems to work with a lot of ladies with the water. Maybe she gets herself a vibrator. I think my advice would be have her try to work herself out a little bit, figure herself out a little bit, and then you get worked back into the equation.
All right. There you go.
John.
Hello?
Hey, you're 20. What's up?
I just thought I had a couple questions for Drew. I wanted to know what college he attended, what medical school he advanced to afterwards, and how early I should study for the MCAT.
Well, I went to Amherst College, and then I went to SC Medical School.
Okay.
And the MCAT, back in the day, it wasn't something you studied for.
What does the MCAT stand for?
Medical, college admission test?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
And so I don't know what the... I remember doing one of those preparatory classes. It was
they have some at UC Berkeley.
I remember doing one. It was completely worthless.
Oh, yeah?
In the day. It's long, 20-plus years ago we're talking about. So as I understand these kinds of tests, everyone does the preparation, so you have to sort of to get into the...
Yeah,
isn't with the pack, you have to do the same thing everyone else does.
Does that kind of cheating? I mean, I don't know about MCAT, but I know they have all those SAT.
Yep.
I never took the SATs, but I know they have that thing where they prepare you.
Yep.
And then it doesn't become a very good gauge as to how you would do on the test when you prepare to take the test.
Of course. John, the most important thing is where you go to college and how you perform there. That's those are the important issues.
Can I have one more question as well?
Yeah.
How does the physician's life affect the family's life when you have kids and everything, when you get older?
Well, it's pretty massive. One thing I would discourage you from doing is getting married or expecting a relationship to survive medical school and residency, because very few, I can't think of, no, none did from my medical school class. And the early years, you're in the hospital 100 to 150 hours a week, and so it's very hard to be involved in childbirth.
That's heavy.
And it's tough. Make your choices of what specialty you want to get into based on your priorities in life.
Yeah, there's also people schooling me to some getting into like toxicologists, because I like to study drugs on the body as well.
All right. Well,
go ahead and do what you want to do.
You're interested in the stuff. Keep going.
All right, John. Good times there. So Dr. Drew is a bit of a role model for you. Right.
No, evidently not.
John, I don't know if you can make it in. Where are you from? Like Brooklyn or something?
I'm from Queens Village.
Yeah.
But on the East Coast, it's a lot more harder school-wise than over here.
That's right, but the medical schools know that. And that's why the people in the schools in the East Coast have better placement.
Yeah, but I'm keeping up with the Asians around here, so I think I'm doing pretty good.
Well, anytime you can keep up with the Lees and the Okamoras, you know, you're doing well.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right.
All right, John.
Yeah. See you later. We should get rid of that keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, there's no Joneses anymore.
No. No, I think we're going to have to change that, give it an Asian name. Keep up with the Yamasakis. Well, Eric?
Would you go Japanese?
I would, yeah.
Or maybe split the difference, go Korean.
No, it's a confusing last name, the Korean. I'd say, you know, the Asians, they work very hard.
Keeping up with
they
the Kims.
They do well in school. Keeping up with the Kims? Yeah, but people are going to get confused. They're going to think that's a first name. They're going to think about Little Kim.
I'm a Chinese.
Okay.
All right.
Keeping up with the Lees?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like we're mispronouncing something. Eric?
Hey.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I need your guys' help. I guess about a month and a half ago, I got in this really serious car accident. My car was told I was almost killed, but I actually walked out not too badly injured. And it seems like, I don't know if this is a cause and effect relationship or what, but it seems like since then, I've been completely obsessed with sex. Like five people a week, like random anonymous.
Wait a minute. I almost killed but walked away almost uninjured?
I mean,
what did you say?
I guess what I mean is that if I was sitting in any other seat in the car, I would have been killed. But in the driver's seat, I was okay.
All right. So if you're in England, you'd be dead? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and, basically.
And
yeah.
Are you gay?
Yeah.
Yes?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And
so,
have you been sexually compulsive at some other time in your life?
No, I mean, not like this. This is almost ridiculous. I mean, I have friends who are like this, and I always kind of frowned on it. I kind of thought it was, I mean, based on the fact that there's diseases in the population.
Yeah, okay. Are you otherwise addictively prone, do you think?
Not really. I mean, I don't drink or do any drugs. I mean, I don't see
it. But do you think you have the gene? Is it in your family system?
Addiction? No, maybe slightly obsessiveness, I would say, but not addiction. I don't know if they're separate things.
But Eric, are you saying at this point the Miata is totaled?
it's
write-off.
It wasn't a Miata. It was totaled, yeah. I mean, it was crushed. It rolled over. I mean, it was...
You just the only thing you could say was the leopard skin seat covers.
Well, do you think you're trying to manage some feelings that are sort of overwhelming you at this point?
I mean, that's what I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's... Like, I have this attribution of the arousal, the anxiety from the accident is being channeled into some sex drive.
Right. Well, basically.
What about this? What about when people have a near-death experience, it makes them realize that life is short and they need to live?
There is that, but he's telling us something different. He's doing things that upset him. He'd rather slow it down, and he can't stop.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a couple things occurred to me. One is maybe you had a head injury and didn't know it. Is that possible? As a part of it?
I had my head lightly on the roof of the car.
Yeah, because there are brain injuries that are associated commonly with hypersexuality, number one. And then number two, maybe you were traumatized at some other time of your life, and this sort of surfaced some of these trauma issues, and this is how you're managing it, is manifesting with this compulsive sexuality.
So the odd thing is, my friends are kind of like this. Which, I mean, the way they respond to it is like, oh, you're finally acting your age, you're finally acting normal.
Well, were you traumatized at some point in your life earlier?
No. I'm one of the callers who hasn't been started.
Really?
Yeah,
all right.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, we're a little disappointed when someone hasn't been raped or abused. But all right, Eric, we'll let you slide. Now, if you're gay and you're young and you're male, you can pretty much go out and get some ass five nights a week, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, when we figured out you're gay is when you said you,
I think you said
fantastic at some point, which may have tipped it, but you also said you're heading out five nights a week getting laid.
Wonderful choice.
And
wonderful choice.
Most 23-year-old guys who are hetero cannot go out and get themselves some ass five nights a week unless they're paying
for
it.
We've never met that guy.
Especially without a car. All right, so, Eric, well, you know what you're doing.
Right, it's a thought that's constantly in my head that I don't understand why I can't get rid of it.
All right.
I recognize the misattribution of arousal, whatever
yeah.
logical things that are happening, but I can't stop them.
All right. So you have the insight, but you can't experientially get in touch with what's going on. If you want to do something about that, see someone about it. Or maybe this is an expression of some addiction that you didn't know you had. And, again, people who are addictively prone, they will go down these paths when they have overwhelming feelings they're trying to manage.
All right. Let's, before we go to break, take a call for Jerry. Marcella?
Adam?
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Such a huge fan. I can't believe I'm on.
Oh, my Great. Gosh.
How are you?
I'm good. Oh, my God.
What's your question?
You know, Alice in Chains has these songs like Fat Girls and Football, and I was wondering if they're ever going to get released and stuff.
You know, actually, Lane had a version of Alice in Chains before we kind of got together, which was called Alice in Chains, like Guns N' Roses.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was very much glam based, and that's what the song she's talking about. One of the songs was Fat Girls, another one is Football. I can't even remember the rest
and
of it.
And how long?
Can you remember the rest of the songs on that demo? It was like a 4-song demo.
Uh huh.
What? Can you tell me what those titles were?
I can't remember right
well,
now.
Well, there you go. Well, anyway, regardless, you know, I imagine you could probably find them on some sort of a bootleg list on the computer somewhere.
Would they ever come out with a special release?
Oh, not. Well, I mean, that really had nothing to do with the band that we were.
Different people.
Completely before us. So, I mean, but I'm sure that we did fairly well. So, I mean, I know that the version of Alice in Chains that I was a part of, we've got like 40 plus bootlegs, probably more than that
right
now. But, I bet you can find it out there somewhere.
How long was Alice in Chains around before Alice in Chains was around?
I think they were around for about a year and a half. And,
so it wasn't a real long time.
No, it wasn't a real long time. And actually, that kind of started to fall apart, for Lane when I met him, and I was looking to form a band, so he was kind of moving into a different area. I actually played with that band on a couple of gigs in exchange for Lane to sing for my band, which became Alice in Chains later on. So
you're not from the Seattle area, correct?
I'm about 30 miles south, Tacoma. Yeah.
So did you go into then Seattle to sort of find your fame and fortune?
Pretty much.
How did that work?
Pretty much. I grew up in Tacoma, actually Spanaway, a town, a suburb of Tacoma, and my mother and my grandmother passed away pretty close together to each other.
How old were you?
And I was 21.
Yeah.
So at that point, I was pretty committed to what I wanted to do. And at that time of like losing my parental figures, there was really all the cords were kind of cut. So it was kind of like on my own. And that was the next place to jump for me. The next pond to move up to was Seattle. I mean, I'd already kind of conquered my little home town on my own.
Yeah, as a musician.
Yeah, and as a musician, you know, I mean, my 19-year-old spandex band or whatever. I'd kind of done my thing in that town, and it was time to move it to another level. So I actually went up and met Lane at a party, and we hit it off that night. And actually, he had a job at a rehearsal hall called the Music Bank, which is what we called our box set, right? Actually, and I ended up like moving in with him and kind of doing double duty, playing guitar with him and his new band, and having him play sing in my band until he got kind of tired, and we convinced him that we were a better thing to do, and that's how that all happened.
And then how long before things really started happening for Alice in Chains?
It seemed like this started happening right away. We were together for about 2 weeks when we had our first gig. We played Kane Hall in the University of Washington campus, and we had about, I think we had two original songs in 2 weeks of time of knowing each other. And some guy came down and said, can you guys do 40 minutes? And we're like, yeah, sure. So, you know, we're totally, you know, BSing them, and we go up and do the show anyway and play like 19 minutes, you know, a couple of covers. We play like a Hanoi Rocks tune, a David Bowie tune, and two of our own, you know, and went off. But things just started to happen right off the bat, you know, and it was a really quick thing. We worked for a couple of years in our hometown, and then we became part of a lot of other great bands that were happening at that time, and it just kind of kept, you know, cycling.
By the way, we've heard it millions of times. It's almost cliche on the show that all the years of struggle and hard knocks. I kind of, it's refreshing to hear the, I think it's about 10 to 14 days to really cash in. I like that story. Gives me hope.
Locally, it did. Yeah, it didn't take too long for us to kind of you hit it.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Jerry Cantrell is here, as you know, formerly of Alice in Chains. Got a new CD out, got a new tour coming out, and we'll be right back after this.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Jerry Cantrell has joined us tonight, formerly of Alice in Chains. Degradation Trip is the name of the new CD. It is currently out. And go to jerrycantrell.com and find out all the information about the tour that's starting up this Sunday with Creed and going all around.
Roadrunner Records.
Roadrunnerrecords.com, too. You can also find the information out on it, and that's going out nationwide starting on Sunday.
Yep.
And let's get back to it and talk to Jennifer's 22. Jennifer?
Hello there.
What's up?
It's kind of a weird predicament. About 3 years ago, I started dating my boyfriend, and we were in a long-distance relationship. And when I'd go and visit him, the sex was great. Everything was fine. And then about a year ago, I was out there for 2 months. And I don't know if for some weird reason he grew bigger when I was gone or what the deal was.
Really painful.
I know that's weird, but just... it's just painful. Like, it's not even, I can't even get it in. It's not, doesn't even go in and feel right. And whenever I can get it in, it just, it feels weird. I've gone to the doctor. I've explained everything to them. I've told them that I have absolutely no desire anymore for sex, and that's really the truth.
And what do they tell you is a possible cause?
They don't really, I mean, they've checked me for any kind of, you know, diseases, or not that, but like vaginitis and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And the only thing they said is, like, maybe go to a gynecologist or whatever. And I've never made that step before, but they never even possibly suggested it could be, you know, something wrong with the shape or whatever it is.
Well, who were you seeing? What kind of doctor were you seeing?
Just a general physician.
All right. It's definitely time to see a gynecologist. I mean, that is absurd not to. You're having a very significant symptoms that are making you sort of putting your relationship in jeopardy. That of course you get further evaluation.
Is there any emotional stuff going on while you guys were apart?
No, and I'm trying to think of, you know, any possible things all the time. But
did you start a new birth
control?
Did you start a new medication or birth control pill around that time?
No, I was on it for 2 years. So
same pill.
That's a whole year.
Same pill.
Yes.
What pill are you taking?
Ortho tricycline.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of getting off of it now. Just, I don't know if it could possibly change after, a year.
It can. That's a possibility. And no other medication. Nothing. Think about it. Nothing. No antibiotics for acne or anything crazy like that. Nothing.
I did have antibiotics, but it was like the year prior.
Everybody.
A couple of times, but...
All right, but wait a second. His penis didn't grow.
Right.
I know.
Unless I hope it didn't. I'll kill this guy. I want to know what municipal water supply he's sucking off of, if this is true. And but the first time you had sex with him, you were anxious to have sex with him. There was no bad blood or emotional whatever going on between you two. You were looking forward to your reunion with this guy.
Right. And for almost a whole 2 years.
And you lubricate normally?
Yes, but not... Now it's just, I just have, desire is out the window.
All right. Yeah, but what if, I mean, I understand intercourse is painful. What about oral sex?
See, and that just went out the window, too.
All right, well, that's not explained on the basis of anything to do with his penis.
And that goes out a different window, doesn't it?
A different one, absolutely. Yeah. It's the front of the house.
I see. Where's the back?
Back
that's
door.
No, that's anal.
Oh.
Must be go out like a side, like a service porch or something.
Service porch. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Jennifer. Are you been depressed?
No.
No.
Nothing that I could possibly.
You no new vitamins or anything funny like that. Think about it.
No.
So how's
okay,
he?
Now here's the question. This could be. He came out to where I live, and we live with my parents. So I don't know if that just made it leave, you know, go out the window like I've been saying, or I don't know. Even if we, you know, try to get away and go somewhere, I still just, I don't know.
Maybe he's not into this guy anymore.
See, I don't think that's it.
Oh, you may not be into him, Jennifer.
No, I don't want to think that.
You're
I don't want to think that.
You don't want to think it? But maybe it's a possibility?
I don't know. I don't.
Well, I mean, here's what we're getting at. Because women don't change anatomically in their 20s, and neither do guys. But women can change significantly if they're not into it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they cannot lubricate. All of a sudden, what was ecstasy can now become excruciating pain.
But no,
and sometimes the vagina is trying to send them a message.
Yes.
The vagina's saying, listen, we're not into this guy anymore.
Yes. I don't want to think that. I can't think that. No, he's perfect. He's great. He's great. He's great. No, don't tell me that.
I'm wondering. Jennifer?
Yes.
You've been with this guy for how many years now?
Three.
And they're living with their parents? Her parents?
Her parents.
Yeah. What about moving out from your parents?
Oh, that's definitely going to happen soon.
Okay, why is he living there with you?
Because he just is, because I plan on moving out. We just want to move out together.
What's he do for a living?
I just graduated college.
What does he do for a living?
Oh, same with him. He's going to school right now.
All right, all right. And he's sure you're not maybe falling out of love a little with this guy?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, all right. Well, off to the gynecologist.
Okay.
There you go.
And, yeah, I'd like to, this is why guys should do what I do, which is the water displacement test with my penis. I take a graduated beaker, and I see how many cc's of water I displace with my erect penis every year on New Year's. Well, sometimes the next morning, because I get a little loaded, and it's hard
to
become erect. Yes, no, this is true,
and I measure the amount of water. You told me once you used a test tube.
No, I use a cigar tube, actually, that I drew on the side of with a magic marker. How dare you? But the point is I don't think this guy's penis could have grown.
No.
That's not it.
No.
Okay. You know what's funny? And we've heard a bunch of these tonight on this show, which is people sort of go to the easiest solution emotionally. Do you know what I mean? Which is, well,
yeah.
I'm not able to have sex with this guy anymore. His penis must have grown. It's almost a sort of fairy tale solution. Anything rather than sort of examine what could possibly be the emotional cause of it.
Right. We had the caller earlier. My girlfriend doesn't have an orgasm. She's 5'10", and I figure her vagina is too big.
Right. So it's her height that is doing this. There's nothing you can do about it.
It's just craziness. People are just going to figure everything out.
But emotionally, isn't it easiest to sort of latch on to something physical and tangible? You notice it always goes to something physical, like the penis size or the height. It makes no sense, but you latch on to it, and then you clutch onto it with both hands, and you hold it, and you protect it, and you say, this is it.
Science is so important.
Because you're denying the real possibility of what's really going on.
That's right. You just look at what it is, you study it, you figure it out, and there, that's what it is.
I would argue, too, that just the sheer fact that you latched onto something that's sort of physically either impossible or neither here nor there, like the height, suggests that maybe you're trying to protect yourself from something emotionally and you don't even know it.
That's right.
All right. We got you all figured out, you screwballs. Michelle?
Yeah?
You're 13?
Yeah.
13. What's up?
Like, a week ago, I went swimming with my friend, and I had shorts on, and my bathing suit was underneath, and I had a shirt over it.
All right.
And, like, the next day, I was talking to my friend on the phone that I went swimming with, and she said that her mom didn't like me because of the way I dressed.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself!
This is another one of those convenient thinking things. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the way you dressed that afternoon. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
generally, she doesn't like how you dress.
Wouldn't you say that might be it?
No, because she never said anything about it before.
I understand, but
you know a lot of parents are, Drew. Yeah. They want them to wear bathing suit shorts and then a sweatsuit over that before they hit the pond.
Well, they got to wear a wetsuit, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but you think she thought the fact that you're wearing shorts and a shirt over your bathing suit when you were going swimming was a little too risque?
Oh, no.
Or as opposed to you wearing shirts for your belly or showing when you go to school?
No.
You don't do that?
No.
So you're a conservative dresser.
Yeah.
And yet she has a problem with this.
Yeah.
Or maybe she just has a problem with you in general. Do you think that might be it? Maybe it's not the dress code?
I don't think so because I haven't really talked to her that much lately, my friend.
Yeah.
Because I moved out of town, and then I moved back into town. So I couldn't really talk to her. Anymore.
Why'd you move away?
Why'd I move away?
Why'd you move away?
My sister. Like, I don't live with my mom. I live with my sister.
Oh, that's
and
a bad side.
To get out of town.
What's up with mom?
She's in jail right now.
All right, well, this is what your friend's mom has a problem with.
Yeah. Well, why is she in jail?
Well, she doesn't, like, get along with my grandma that much.
Oh.
So they put her in jail for that?
That happened to my mom. She did
They put her in jail for not getting along with her grandma.
My mom did 13 years in Leavenworth because she got a little blowout with my grandmother.
Yeah.
I don't think...
You mean she tried to stab your grandmother with a crocheting needle, or they didn't get along?
No, I guess she was drunk over at my grandma's house, and, she threatened to hit my grandpa with a bat.
Right, and Michelle...
But there's probably a long history of this in order for her to be incarcerated because
of it. That's what your friend's mother
has. Yeah, your mom does not want her daughter around all this. And you having been through this, I'm sure you wear that on your persona.
On the sleeve that you're not wearing?
Yeah, I'm sure you dress
going to be on.
You wear that on the sleeve of your sleeveless halter top?
Yeah.
All right, so, Michelle.
You're not we don't wear black all the time, that kind of thing?
No.
Okay, well, here's the tough part. We got about 30 seconds here, but you've been through a lot.
Yeah.
And your mom is a troubled person, and it's hard not to be troubled when you're a young lady, and your mom is so troubled.
Right.
And so whether you know it or not, and you're probably a good person, but you're probably a troubled person to some degree, too.
And that's
to be expected because of the situation you come from. And the mother of your friend probably picks up on that troubled side of you, and she's frightened of
it. You need to find a way to contain that and not sort of wear that sort of a billboard, but like you're a sign projecting that into the world. It's awful.
At the same time, being a young person, that's a very hard situation to deal with.
Yeah.
That's something that can be hard to deal with. Period. And another thing on another level is not to is to know that doesn't reflect like the type of person that you are either. And that sometimes people pull away and because of an associate of somebody that's in your family, maybe has problems or whatever that necessarily doesn't relate directly to you, that people react in ways that doesn't mean anything of about your self-worth, you know,
well,
as a person. So
here's the problem, really. It's kind of a catch-22. It doesn't make Michelle a bad person that her mom is in prison. Unfortunately, her mom being in prison makes her do things that can be mistaken with a bad person.
Right, I understand that.
And that's the difficult part.
Just playing devil's advocate for
right,
you.
No, you're everyone is right. That's the way I look at the world.
Yeah.
Well, not really. I look at it. I'm right and everyone's wrong, but I don't want to get into it. Here's the deal, Michelle. It's going to be tough for you. It really is. And I'm sorry this had to happen, and you have to try extra hard to not go down the path that your mom went down.
You
got to stay in school, and you can't get into drugs, and you can't get pregnant, and you can't run with screwballs, and you can't act out. And I'm sorry, but you have to watch yourself closely, like a diabetic has to measure his insulin levels, right, Drew?
Yep.
It's the same thing. So, sorry about that. Watch yourself closely, and don't worry about your friend's mom. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's true. Jerry Cantrell's our guest tonight. We're going to hear something else off the new CD, Degradation Trip. We're running a little bit behind tonight, and it was on the screen, and then it fell off the screen, and I forgot about it.
Is it Angel Eyes, the second
That's
title?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. You queued up there, Anderson? Let's get to it. It's called Angel Eyes. Another good one from Jerry Cantrell. Degradation Trip is the name of the CD. Out is We Speak. All right, we got time for... Drew, I want to talk to this poor guy who's been on hold for 65 minutes. Ben?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, Ben.
You're 22. Your dad is 72 years old.
Right, right. Well, my question is pretty much, first off, you guys, I really love your show. You do great service to a lot of people.
Thanks.
But you had a caller call last night. His problem was a little different than mine. He had a really high voice.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the things you brought up about his parents were that really old parents, parents suffered trauma, and parents being immigrants. And my parents kind of fall into all three of those categories, and Drew never really elaborated on to, like, how that would affect relationships. And I'm just
I was really going after whether or not they were sort of war survivors, like concentration camp survivor, that kind of thing, because he sounded so emotionally deprived that there was no self-development, and that is something that very often occurs in these very highly self-involved parental systems.
All right, but your parents...
I think I'd like a large pepperoni.
That was him. Yeah. Your parents' age usually don't have a whole lot to do with it.
No, not necessarily.
No, they just kick off a little sooner.
Ben sounds fine, by the way.
More.
We sort of learn to read people, our feelings about people.
Right.
It seems fine.
Ben, we give you a B. You'll be fine. We'll take a break.
B plus.
All right, everybody, that is the show. I want to sort of thank Jerry Cantrell for coming out here tonight. And I want to thank all you for listening to the show. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I guess she was drunk over at my grandma's house, and she threatened to hit my grandpa with a bat.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.